Olnick, professor of music at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, will present a concert of music for violin, piano, and computer at 7:30 Wednesday night at MPAC in Rensselaer in Troy. The concert features a selection of his most recent compositions from 2003 to the present. Rolnick's program showcases solo and duo works, plus computer, that he has written in the past decade, a departure from the works for large ensembles that have made up the bulk of his recent work. Rolnick said many of the compositions reflect an interest which he dates to his 2002 move to New York City in combining virtuoso instrumental playing with digital processing. Should be noted that he recently announced that he is retiring from teaching at RPI at the end of this semester to compose full-time, and this is where the crowd goes, aww.
That's right. But it's I've gotten a lot of awes, but I'm actually really excited about what the move means for me.
And it's a great pleasure to welcome Neil to the roundtable this morning. Wonderful to have you here. Always lovely.
Thank you
very much for coming. So I assume a decision like that takes a while to say, okay, now's the time.
Yeah. Well, and actually, I've been moving towards this for a while. I moved my home to New York City about 10 years ago, and with the idea that this was going to be coming down the road, and have built a really wonderful community of really wonderful players and other composers down there that I'm working with, and it seemed like this was a really good time for me to make the move. I've got a bunch of projects, two large commissions, and a new CD of a couple of big ensemble pieces coming out shortly, and so it just seems like all the work is happening down there. And I've really, my time at Rensselaer, we built what was really the nation's first integrated electronic arts program in the 90s, and continuing since then. And that's been great, but it sort of feels like that's been that part of my life, and now it's time to really dive in both feet.
Realizing that we all get older, does a composer's maturation process ever end?
I hope not. Certainly, I feel like I've been more productive in the last 10 years than ever in my life, and unless I fail to complete the commissions I'm committed to now, it'll continue.
But are you're searching, and it's a journey, and then, I mean, is there ever a point where you say, okay, I've found it, like this is what I want to do? But because your work is technological and that's always changing, I would assume that that must have an impact as well.
Well, it sort of has an impact. In a way, one of the things that's happened as I've gotten older is that when I, and I think one of the things that really moved me to make this change in my life now, is that when I was younger, I felt like the technology was much more a focus of what my music was about. And I'll play some pieces tomorrow night that date from that time, which are really solo computer pieces that have evolved as the technology has evolved. I have to keep rewriting them if I want to keep performing them. But in the last 10 years or so, I felt much more like the music itself is what I'm focused on, and the technology just happens to be what I'm a virtuoso player of. So I have a great deal of, I feel like I've got a great deal of skill. I know how to get whatever I want to out of a computer, but that sort of led me to a place where my focus is, what do I want to get? What do I want to hear? And I've had a good fortune the last few years of working at some major conservatories to do projects at this Central Conservatory in Beijing, at the San Francisco Conservatory, and just this past fall doing a big project at Juilliard. And it's been interesting because there the technology is just sort of not even noticed that that's what I bring.
I find that fascinating in the sense of, you know what you want, and there is just a sense, you know, that whatever you want, you can get from that computer.
Right.
It's not, I have to find something that is going to match this. You just know you can get it from that.
Yes. And, it's not, when I was much younger, when I was in my 20s, I used to play jazz and rock and roll on the keyboard. And within that framework, I would often feel like, well, okay, I can sit down at the keyboard and what I want is what I'll get. I don't do that with the piano anymore, but certainly with the computer, it just feels like it's a pretty straight connection from my brain or my heart or wherever it comes from.
So you have this concert that's happening tomorrow night, and so as a result of your announcement, some are calling it a farewell concert.
Yes.
I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Yeah, well, it's I hope that Rensselaer fares well. I hope that I fare well, and it's a, you know, I've been at the school for 32 years.
Yeah,
I've done. I'm really very proud of the changes we've made and the things that have happened while I've been there with my colleagues, and I feel like I'm sure that I'll continue to be in touch. But I really want to focus on my musical work from here on.
In doing this work, I mean, in talking to you, it seems that just we call this recent work of the last 10 years, from 2003 to 2013. So, but there's been quite a transformation just in that decade.
Oh yes, and transformation, you mean in the music or in the technology?
Well, both, but certainly within your music.
Sure.
Of what you focused on.
Sure, and part of that has to do, I think, with the thing that one of the things that attracted me to being in New York City, which was just the abundance of players and of ensembles, so that there are the piece that we started out listening to, which is Digits, which is one of the piece that'll end the concert tomorrow night, is a wonderful real virtuoso piece. You have to be a really good player in order to play it, and it shows off your abilities. And so because of that, a lot of pianists have played it now. It's probably mm-hmm. gotten over 100 performances around the world. And so being able to have a large community of players at that level, of which Vicky and Todd, the people who will be with me tomorrow night, are two prime ones who both played a lot of my work, frees me to think musically in a different way. And that's led me to also working on bigger ensembles. Todd will be doing the solo part in a violin, computer, and large ensemble concerto that I wrote for Juilliard that we'll be recording in June. And performing in New York with a group, members of a group called Alarmal Sound. And it's been possible to just look around amongst my friends and say, can we put this together? And they can.
Let us explore place for a moment. I understand the connection with these great players that you have being in the city. Is your writing, is your composing different in the sense of what you hear and what you want? Does setting have a role in that?
Except for the ability to write pieces that really push players' capabilities is one thing, but...
But you could write it here and present it there, right?
Well, except the personal relationships really mean something to me, and I think to the people I work with. But the other aspect is that really for the last 20, 25 years, my music has gotten more melodic, more accessible, more accessible and more, I think, memorable.
I was going to ask you about that, and it was my next question, because I've heard that, and I was wondering your thought, is that a conscious choice that it has become more accessible, or have we become more broad in our thinking of what we will accept in music?
I think that it's actually a coming together of two things. One is that, of course, people get used to whatever they hear a lot. So the more you hear contemporary things, the more you accept them. On the other hand, there's one of the issues about academia, and one of the things that's been really wonderful for me at Rensselaer, because there hasn't been this pressure, is that there is pressure to write music that is academically acceptable. That I've actually seen sort of the worst examples of it in in China, where I work with students who write music exactly like their teachers, and I can tell who their teachers studied with because the teachers write music exactly like their teachers. Yeah. And I think that over the last 20 years or so, there's been a real freeing of, from a composer's point of view, to write what you hear and not to be concerned about what you are supposed to be writing, what a contemporary composer is supposed to sound like. And a lot of my move towards greater accessibility really has to do with way back in the 70s when my daughter was born and I was a graduate student and I would sing to her and I noticed that I was not singing 12-tone rows. I was singing nursery rhymes.
Right.
And I sort of said to myself, well, if I'm a composer, I'm supposed to be doing what I hear. And if what I hear is nursery rhymes, why can't I write that?
Mm.
If what I hear is pretty melodies, why can't I write those pretty melodies? Is that somehow not...
Well, and again, that's a maturation and a and an acceptance and confidence.
Yeah. And you know, I also, you know, really up to about 20 years ago, one of the things I've always noticed when I, no matter what I was writing, when I would leave a concert, when I would hear, when I play a concert of my music as I was leaving, I would hear people singing my tunes as, to themselves as they left.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, I was terribly embarrassed by that.
Really?
Because
I would think you'd be on cloud nine.
Well, a serious composer, you know, was supposed to be more more abstract and deeper than that. And at a certain point, I said, this is wonderful. This is great. If I whatever I do is sticky enough to stick in someone's ear when they leave, then maybe I've done something right here.
We're going to take a short break, and we will continue our conversation with Neil Rolnick and come back. A reminder that he is going to be presenting a concert for violin, piano, and computer at 7:30 on Wednesday night. That's tomorrow night at MPAC at Rensselaer. And Troy will continue our conversation with Neil Rolnick after this short break. Neil Rolnick is professor of music at RPI and presenting a concert for a concert of music for violin, piano, and computer at 7:30 tomorrow night at MPAC. What is it about those instruments, about violin and piano, that you are specifically attracted to?
Well, this is fun. This goes back to what you asked about where I live, in a way.
Mm.
A lot of it has to do with the people involved. It's really, I find myself writing for people. And Todd and Vicky in particular have been people who I feel are able to bring my music a kind of measure of life that it sometimes doesn't have in the hands of others. So I've written... Virtually everything I've ever written for violin has really been for Todd, and he helps me figure out since I'm not a violin player, things that work, things that could be more grateful for the player, and then he really makes it sing. And Vicky, I initially met when she was a student, a grad student at Juilliard, and she played this piece, Digits. Was very nervous about how difficult it was, and then did an incredible job.
Mm.
And we've since played around this country. We toured China together for a little bit. And I've got one of the commissions I have coming up in the next year is to work on a new large piece for her with computer and piano from funded by the Frohm Foundation at Harvard.
Does the computer allow you a latitude in the sense of in composing where you would say this would be great for horn, that can fill that void?
Not really. I mean, the writing for instruments is in a lot of ways a very practical thing because you know what instruments you're going to have right. in the concert, and you, that's what you got to use. And
so what do you get well. From the computer?
The computer is just, for composing, it's really like a word processor. Mm. And it helps in the same ways that a word processor helps, which is that you can try things out, think about them, chuck them, revise them, try them different ways, copy and paste, do all those things that speed it up way beyond what you can do with a pencil and paper. Although I still use a pencil and paper for a certain stages of my writing, sometimes just getting ideas down. It's easier to just write them with a pencil. Mm-hmm. But the computer, that's computer for composing. Computer for performing or for writing pieces which I'm going to perform is... really makes me think in a slightly different way because particularly as I realize things, you can't, I've never figured out how to write down what I do on the computer. So I don't know what's going to happen when I croak, no one will be able to play my pieces anymore because
it's all on you.
It's all in me. And I don't.
So if there's a concert Tuesday and a concert next Wednesday, are they the same or are they different?
They're always different.
Okay.
My part is always, it's always different. It's similar, you know, the same way that you play anything.
So that goes back to the jazz training of a riff more than anything else.
And my, you know, what I do when I'm playing on the computer is, I practice a lot. At one point when I first started doing this, a really good player, an oboist, said, well, do you practice every day? Do you sit down and do this? And actually since then I have. And so I work on it, but because I really can't write down what I do, I just have to remember and have a good idea and do it.
Hmm. Is the, and it seems that would give you then a tremendous freedom.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, there's always a structure, but there is some freedom.
I always have freedom, but I also feel like...
Well, you're the composer.
I'm the composer. I can do whatever the hell I want. And, you know, and basically my job is to say to the whole, whatever size group it is, this is what you're supposed to do. And you have to do it, and my idea will be realized in that.
And... Again, this gets...
That's a great privilege. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be able to spend my time doing.
And wonderful trust that you have with these players that are able to realize what you want.
Well, and it means that I also... One of the wonderful things about working with really good players is that it's not just one way. It's really a feedback loop. So, with either Todd or Vicky, I'll ask them to do something and... they'll either have a different way that they'd like to do it or do something differently, and we can actually have a dialogue, and they improve the music, even though it's still working on my idea. They could help improve it a lot.
So what can people expect tomorrow night at MPEG?
Well, tomorrow night I'm going to actually intersperse pieces for the instruments with a sampling of some of the solo pieces that I've written over the years. So, some of which I've had to revise numerous times because the technology keeps changing. And one of the things I've done is I've sort of taken all the pieces and put them into one program that allows me to move through the program, through the concert program more quickly. But so there'll be a piece for solo for violin and computer called Fiddle Faddle that Todd plays. There'll be what's probably the closest thing to a violin piano sonata that I'll ever write, which is about a 20-minute piece for just the two of them with no electronics, just they're using some unusual sonic techniques on the instruments, but it's just the two of them playing. And then the piece with Digits with Vicky and the computer and a video track, which works off of two cameras stuck on either end of the keyboard to get this video track of her digits, right? It's the piece is called Digits. So it's digits as in a computer and digits as in on the end of your hand. And then there'll be three other pieces that I'll do solo that'll kind of space those three out. So,
well, it sounds like a marvelous evening. It's a delight to talk to someone who can so beautifully articulate their work and their art.
Thank you.
And I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. Wish you all the luck in the world in your retirement from RPI and the future works that you're doing.
And I actually think of it more as giving up my day gig.
Absolutely. And we wish you all the luck in the world in that. Neil Rolnick, professor of music at RPI, will present a concert of music for violin, piano, and computer at 7:30 Wednesday night at MPAC at Rensselaer in Troy. For more information, you can go to Neil Rolnick. That's R-O-L-N-I-C-K, neilrolnick.com. Neil, a great pleasure and a delight. I thank you very much for
being with us.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.